talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long tongue liar.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media from Madison, Waukesha, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, and soon a lot of other places. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and a major piece of history was made last night in Philadelphia. Joe Biden gave a terrific speech. I watched the whole thing. Then I watched some of the pushback from the Republicans. But here's what Joe said. Here was the intent of the speech. And here's what I think it accomplished. First of all, he did it right. He did it in a formal way in Independence Hall, where our Constitution was written and debated. It's probably, if not the most historic building in the country, one of them. Philadelphia was the site of our first capital. He came into a full band playing Hail to the Chief, and he was absolutely terrific. Here's what he said. I won't boil down the whole thing, obviously, but you can go on YouTube and see every bit of it. And he said that he was very blunt. He said, our democracy is at stake. He said, the MAGA Republicans are threatening that democracy. They're extremists, and they've introduced violence back into politics, and that's wrong. But he was careful to say, not every Republican, not even a majority. But the ones that do are doing everything in their power to dismantle your right to vote and to use unelected people and non-elected methods to subvert our democracy. He said we're in a battle for the soul of the nation. And then, you know, this is kind of low class, low rent, cheap. Kevin McCarthy went there trying to give a counter. But who's Kevin McCarthy? First of all, he has a high, squeaky voice. I do not think that this guy's going to end up being speaker. There are too many people who don't like him all over the place. Can't trust anything he says. And he's a congressman from California. So what? He's coming to Philadelphia to try to upstage the president of the United States. Good luck. It didn't happen. But he shot his mouth off. And then they had a guy playing the kettle drum and people yelling. Obviously, there was security. They could not get into Independence Hall. But they're sort of making a fuss. And there weren't a lot of them. There were not a lot of them. And Biden was great. He said, when it got a little loud, he said, they're entitled to be outrageous. Everybody laughed. And then he said, good manners are something they've never suffered from. And everybody chuckled at that. And these clowns weeping and gnashing their teeth out in the cold. To reinforce Biden's comments, Donald Trump earlier in the day had promised to pardon everyone who participated in the insurrection on January 6th. That's unbelievable. Police officers were beaten. There was one insurrectionist yesterday who was sentenced to 10 years in prison. It was the longest prison sentence to any of them, but he beat the hell out of a police officer, ripped his gas mask off. One police officer was on the ground being kicked to death. He said, I have four kids, and then a couple of people spared him. They went up there to hang the vice president, hang Mike Pence. They mounted a gallows. They didn't build that gallows in 1 hour. That had been planned. If anything, Biden understated the introduction of violence, into politics by the right-wing Republicans. Now, when he's saying MAGA Republicans, he's using that as a kind of a shorthand because that's what Trump calls them, and that's what he has in his hat. The truth of the matter is that the words MAGA were simply kidnapped by Trump from popular discourse as "Make America Great Again." Well, I would argue, why, what do you mean again? America's been great since 1776, and it'll always be great. They don't get to hijack that, but Biden was using it simply as shorthand for Trump. And he mentioned Trump a couple of times, very, very rare. And he said that Trump is doing this and lathering up some of the Republicans, not a majority. I've said, I put it a little differently. I don't think any Republican voters are to blame at all. Told you when I served in the Navy, our ship, I mean, you know, we had Republicans, Democrats, independents. We had people from all the states, Southern, Eastern, Midwestern, Western. We worked together. We stood watch together, and we went on liberty together. We were friends. We were Americans. We got to get back to that. That's really what Biden was saying when he said, not every Republican, there's just a handful of them. Just a handful of them. And we are in a battle for the soul of the nation. And anybody who doubts that, open your eyes, read a newspaper, listen to a radio show, watch a TV show, you'll see it. The response from the Republicans was predictable and disappointing. Trump, after having promised to pardon everyone on January 6th, even the people who almost kicked police officers to death, gouged out an eye, pulled off a finger, threw them down the stairs, said he pardoned them. He said that Biden is insane. Well, that's the pot calling the kettle black. Trump is bat feathers crazy. Kevin McCarthy said something in a squeaky voice. I forget what he said. Didn't amount to anything. Marjorie Taylor Greene, as usual, went over the top. I couldn't believe this, really. She photoshopped a picture of Biden speaking, but put swastikas behind it. And the speech she had him give was a dub of a speech that Adolf Hitler gave. Now, I got word from Marjorie Taylor Greene, as sad as this is, and as stupid as that is, she's just hurting herself with her own constituency. If she had a brain in her head, she would have put hammers and sickles behind it and had him mouthing a speech from Lenin. The fact of the matter is, many of that constituency on the super far right don't object to seeing swastikas or listening to a Hitler speech. So it's a bit of a mixed metaphor. Now, this is not the first time, and I am very glad to see this. I've said before that I think our party is passive-aggressive. We have so much identity politics, and we have so many passive-aggressive candidates that, you know, nobody in the country gets a forceful response to anything that the Republicans are doing. But Biden has started, and he's the best voice for it. And this isn't the first time. When he was in Maryland a few days ago, he was appearing for Wes Moore, our Democratic nominee for governor, against his fellow Cox, C-O-X, who is the Republican nominee and who has said favorable things about QAnon and is exactly like Doug Mastriano, the Republican in Pennsylvania, who not only said the election was rigged, but there is no conspiracy theory on the right that he hasn't adopted. This Cox is bad news. And I've also said that we put him in because Democrats contributed millions of dollars to have him beat the moderate Republican, thinking that our man Wes Moore would have an easier time beating this guy. I think that was a big mistake. First of all, Wes Moore was not the guy we wanted. We wanted Perez, the former chair of the National Party and the former labor secretary under Obama. And Wes Moore upset him. Wes Moore doesn't have a political position. He heads up a nonprofit. I hope he wins. A good guy, be a good governor. But anyway, that's the circumstance in Maryland. And I think that's why Biden went in there to stand up for our ticket. In any event, here's what he said in Maryland. He said, you can't be pro-law enforcement and pro-insurrection. You can't be the party of law and order and call the people who attacked the police on January 6th patriots. You simply can't. That was good and tough, and he said it in Maryland a few days ago. Then he said, jabbing at Lindsey Graham, you turn on TV and you see senior senators and congressmen saying, quote, there'll be blood in the streets. Where the hell are we? End quote. That is what Biden said. And you know what Trump did? This is in response to the Maryland speech and that Biden made. Trump reposts on Truth Social. That's his social media engine because he's been thrown off of Twitter and Facebook. Here's what he retweets on Truth Social. This is Trump now. Quote, we can't let the FBI break the American spirit. Trump reposted those words. That is sick. That invites attacks on the FBI. They can't say they're the party that doesn't want to defund the police when they want to defund the FBI. And the fact is, we can't and should not defund the police or the FBI. We should increase funding to the police. The police deserve our support, because without them, there would be rampant murder, rape, theft, and chaos in a lot of cities in this country. There really would be. And the handful of instances of police misconduct can and should be punished. And I know that frequently they are not. That's got to be changed. But 99% of the policemen, my uncle was a policeman, my cousin was a policeman, 99%, in fact, all of them deserve our full support. And so these are the things that Biden said in Maryland. And what he said yesterday, last night in Philadelphia, was the same. He is coming across as the strongest voice in the Democratic Party, uninhibited, unrestrained, no passive aggression here, just flat out saying it. And he said it again, like I say, last night. He says, we are in a fight for our democracy. A handful of Republicans, the so-called MAGA Republicans, which are really Trump Republicans, have introduced violence back into politics. And that had been absent, by the way, since the Civil War, since 1860. That had been absent. They've introduced it back. Trump introduced it in his 2016 campaign, urging the crowd to beat up protesters and saying he would pay their legal fees and saying that Hillary Clinton's bodyguard should be disarmed and the Second Amendment people should take care of her. We can't have this. And we're being attacked in every state in the country by extreme Republican candidates for Secretary of State, Attorney General, Governor, elections boards, everything, who say they will not certify a Democratic candidate. Joe Biden hit it right on the nose. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I got to thinking after that speech last night. I had a fellow mention to me the other day, and this is how he put it. He said, the Republicans are trying to push us into communist government. And he wasn't saying it in a political science way. What he's really saying is they're pushing us into Russian government or authoritarian government. And that brings up a story that was just published yesterday. This will give you an example. Vladimir Putin had his thugs throw a man named Ravel Maganov. He's the chairman. He was the chairman of the Russian oil company, the giant company Lukoil, out of his hospital window, defenestrated him, they call it. Killed him, obviously. Threw him out the hospital window. And then the official statement was that he committed suicide, that he must have been depressed. He was in for a heart checkup. Now, let me burrow down. This is the sixth guy that's been murdered who's either been an executive or an oligarch, in other words, one of the power elite. Ravel Maganov's sin was that right after Putin went into Ukraine, on February 24th, with soldiers to kill people, Maganov said, we need a fast resolution of this. It has to be by negotiation, by diplomatic means. And Putin didn't like that. And so he lay in the weeds, and he finally got Ravel Maganov. But this is the sixth guy he's knocked off. in May, the former CEO of Lukoil, in other words, Ravel Magano's predecessor, who also just even just quietly wasn't all that supportive of the invasion of Ukraine, and that former CEO's name, Alexander Subotin, was poisoned. They said it was a toad poison. I have no idea what a toad poison is. Very, very hard to see how the CEO of the largest oil company in Russia somehow dies of toad poisoning. Was he go to the store and say, give me a bottle of toad poison? I mean, come on. Was he catch a frog or something? I mean, come on. Come on. Before that, two executives of Novatek, it's Russia's number two gas producer. See, a lot of these people were in the energy industry executives, and they saw how devastating the economic sanctions were, and they were urging diplomacy. That's all they were doing, urging diplomacy. But two other executives of Russia's number two gas producer, Novatek, and Gazprom Bank, which is an affiliate of Gazprom, another energy company, were found dead, along one of them with his wife and two daughters, the other one with his wife and one of his children. Every time this sort of thing happens, Putin puts out a statement. When the toad poisoned Alexander Subotin was toad poisoned, they said, well, he somehow got hold of some toad poison. When the executives of Novatek and Gazprom Bank were found dead, they said it was a murder-suicide, both of them, about a month apart. But one of them was stabbed to death, and his wife and two daughters were stabbed to death. They said, yeah, it's unusual, but I guess that's what he wanted to do. They just come right out and say this stuff. They come right out and say this stuff. Now, here's the thing about Russia. I've talked about Ukraine a lot. We're going to talk about it a lot more. Ukraine has launched a counteroffensive in the south and east of Ukraine, where the Russians have temporarily occupied it. And they're pushing in. They're doing very well. Just came out yesterday that the United States worked with them and planned this invasion. We're giving them all the weapons they need. I still say, Joe, give them the 300-mile missiles, not the 50-mile missiles. Give them F-16s to impose a no-fly zone and do the job. Don't just give them enough weapons to keep the pot boiling. But I will say in Joe Biden's favor and to his credit, he's stabbed in the back by the Trump Republicans. Trump is pro-Putin, of course. So is Pompeo and a lot of them. So is Tucker Carlson. So is Josh Hawley and a lot of the others. And he also is being stabbed in the back by France and Germany lightly because they love American money and American protection, American arms, but they don't want to do anything to help anybody else. And even with that, Biden has armed Ukraine. Absolutely terrific. However, one of the things that Ukraine is teaching us and teaching everybody, and they're teaching Poland and Estonia and Latvia and Lithuania, and frankly, Sweden and Finland and Hungary, and anybody that has a border anywhere near Russia and Belarus, is that if Russia takes over, you're going to have more Putins and you're going to have more Ravel Maganevs thrown out the hospital window. More people being toad poisoned, stabbed to death with their wife and daughters, and the government claiming that it is murder-suicide. The other guy was shot along with his wife and a child, murder-suicide, no investigation. This woman whose car was blown up in a suburb of Moscow, turned out her father, he was very right-wing, but he had broken with Putin, said Putin wasn't doing enough in Ukraine, and as a result, his daughter gets blown up. We can't let the Ruskies, communism is a cancer, but post-communism organized crime is a cancer, and it cannot be permitted to spread back into Europe. Ukraine is a free country. It must stay a free country. and the Democratic Party, and especially led by Joe Biden, is ensuring that that's going to happen. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Matt Flynn, Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there was a hearing yesterday on the Mar-a-Lago documents on Donald Trump's request to have the court appoint the special master. Here's what tentatively occurred, and here's what occurred. The judge, Arlene Mercedes Cannon, was born in Colombia, grew up in Colombia, naturalized citizen, right-wing authoritarian, appointed by Trump as a federal judge. She never would have gotten in. Otherwise, not, in my opinion, not qualified to be a federal judge. She put off the ruling on a special master briefly, but she signaled that she probably would do it. But she said, I will unseal. There's a status report about the Department of Justice investigation. I'm going to unseal that. And I am going to require, quote, a more detailed inventory of items seized. She also said, believe it or not, she's considering barring the Department of Justice from reviewing the documents. These are documents, some of them, that have the names of our agents, spies, CIA personnel, cooperating nationals in dangerous countries, Russia, China, Iran, conceivably drug cartels in Colombia. If their names get out, or even the information they gave gets out, people can reverse engineer it and figure out who said it. They will be killed. Their families will be killed. This also reportedly has nuclear information and perhaps information, if in the event of a nuclear war, where we would strike in Russia, how quickly, from what assets in the triad. Triad are the submarines, bombers, and then the ICBMs located in the United States, land, air, and sea, the triad. And what targets we think Russia would hit in this country, and how secure our targets in this country are. And this clown, authoritarian, incompetent, says, oh, well, I may prevent the Department of Justice from even seeing what Trump stole, and I want a detailed inventory of the items seized. Well, let me tell you something. We have plenty of homegrown native authoritarians, Steve Bannon, Giuliani, and others, but the culture in Colombia is servility to the strongman, and she is genuflecting to the strongman. Because in some of those cultures, if you don't genuflect to the strong man, you can end up dead. So far, that's not the case in our country. But here's something she did, too. As a sign of servility to the strong man, Trump, she did not hold a hearing in her courtroom. She moved it and commandeered a federal courtroom 3 miles from Trump's house. Now, let me tell you something. That's very rare. There's no reason for that. No federal judge moves to be near one of the litigants. This is an illegitimate proceeding in the first place. I've said before, and I'm going to say it again, the Republicans are using unelected people to undermine our democracy. No federal judge is elected. She was not elected. The Constitution does not say that the federal judiciary can do any of this, that they can overturn an act of Congress, that they can enjoin an act of the executive. The original role was deciding commercial disputes, but over time it was useful in a country like ours as population grew, as social problems became more complex as we became a more diverse country, to have a federal judiciary that could step in and do needed corrective measures. Some were good. The civil rights decisions in the 1960s, Brown versus Board of Education in the 1950s. Some were bad. Citizens United throwing out Roe v. Wade with an illegitimately appointed court because one of them during the lame duck was rammed through, appointed by a president who just lost the election. No legitimacy to that. But a lot of them in the 19th century were bad. Plessy v. Ferguson, the 1890s, said separate but equal was okay. Dred Scott in the 1850s, saying that a black man could not regain his freedom because he was not entitled to freedom. So it's a checkered business. Under Franklin Roosevelt in the 30s, when he came in, Republican Supreme Court said the New Deal was unconstitutional. Until there was such an uproar, they chickened out. This is the give and take, but what's happening now under Trump is much more insidious. What's happening now under Trump is that unelected federal judges, and she's a prime example, are subverting our democracy and our national interest. And people are saying, oh, well, you know, she has the power to do it. Well, no, she does not have the power to do it. Now, I also will say this right away. The federal and the state judiciaries in 2020 and 2021 were magnificent. More than 60 cases filed, fraudulent, illegitimate cases by the Trump people lying about fraud in the election, and more than 60 of them. And there was every one of them stood up to affirm the election, including some who are Trump appointees. I want to make that clear. I'm not ringing the death knell for our democracy based on this, but this is particularly galling, what's happening down in Florida. Arlene Mercedes Cannon moves the hearing 3 months to be 3 miles from Trump's house to convenience him. His lawyers are grinning and flashing the thumbs up sign. She said, what can it hurt to have a special master? Oh, really? Who's the special master? Who is Arlene Mercedes Cannon going to appoint to read documents that have the lists of our agents in Moscow, Beijing, Tehran, in the drug cartels, and in ISIS? She can't be permitted to do that. Who is she going to appoint to read about where the Russians would hit us with nuclear weapons and where we would hit them? Now, she can be appealed, but one of the things she's doing is quite sneaky. The government has asked her to put this in. Luke, you're at the microphone, my friend. I don't know if you had something to say.
Well, I didn't know if you saw this one aspect of the filing for the update yesterday with the special master on this topic. They essentially threw out their entire argument saying that these documents were declassified by the former guy. That's been Trump's argument, is if there were documents down there, he declassified them, so he was fine to use them. But in updating their filing for a request for the special master, they said that the special master would need top secret clearance to be able to review said documents. So it completely undermined the entire... one of the entire arguments that Trump was trying to make, because why would the special master need top secret clearance if the documents were declassified? So they're really spinning their wheels down there. It's fascinating to watch, and I don't think these lawyers are really ready for what Trump has kind of gotten them into.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And also there's been reporting, which I think is true, that two of his lawyers are in danger of being prosecuted. One of them, who signed a document saying that everything had been turned over and that was false, and the other one telling him verbally that all the documents had been in that storeroom, and he knew that they were upstairs in a closet and in the bridal suite dressing room and elsewhere in the basement. But that's a good, very good point. And the other thing, what Luke just said, early on, Trump shut his mouth off and said they were classified. But I think what he realized was the Espionage Act does not require that anything be classified or not classified. If you turn over something to an enemy and make it available to him and have it assist them in any way, that is a felony, regardless of the classification. Here, just so we're clear, the President of the United States can't just say, okay, I'm going to take a bunch of documents, and I just therefore inferentially declassify them. Not only was there no formal procedure, but he can't just declassify the identities of our agents in Moscow, Beijing, and Tehran. He can't do that. And the reason that he can't do that is there are strict protocols. He's supposed to review these documents himself and not keep copies and do it in a secure place. And if he did want to declassify any document, he informs the holder of the document, gets their reaction, and there's a formal process. He didn't do it. And to Luke's point, they seem to have abandoned that argument even in their first brief in this thing because they didn't raise it. It was Trump that shot his mouth off. But now Luke makes a good point. Why would a special master need top secret clearance to review something that's not classified? So they've inferentially waived it as well there. The other thing, though, is this. People with top secret clearances have reviewed them. They're called the FBI and the Justice Department. Some of them had to be sworn in with top secret clearances after the fact to then go through what they'd seized. And that has been accomplished. So we don't need a special master. The DOJ and the FBI have looked through these. She is simply doing this to repay Trump because he made her a federal judge. And if he ever gets back in, maybe she'll be promoted to the Court of Appeals. This is a non-elected judge who is putting our not only our democracy in danger, but our foreign agents in danger. And Jack Reed, who's a very influential senator, is from Rhode Island, was speaking to one of the networks yesterday. And he said, quote, I am sure that every big intelligence agency in the world has been in and out of Mar-a-Lago for a long time. You know, this isn't, we've been talking about this for a while, but this even goes back to January for a year. And even before that, for a year, everybody in the world knew that he had taken classified documents. And they knew that Mar-a-Lago leaks like a sieve. It's a resort. You can book a room there. One of the partners in my law firm and his wife went down there. And for some reason, they were in Palm Beach. They decided to book a room. And they're eating in the dining room, and Trump is two tables away, talking loudly. I mean, they could hear what he was saying. And when he was talking, it had to do with current events, but they didn't say anything at that time that registered with him. But, you know, you can have directional microphones. You can have one on your lapel that looks like a pin of some sort, looks like a pin, and sit anywhere in Mar-a-Lago and hear what everybody's saying. Trump talked about Kim Jong-un. Remember, this is a couple of years ago. And he's there talking loudly about Kim Jong-un and what he's going to do and what Kim Jong-un's going to do. This is the President of the United States. All of these intelligence agencies easily can get people to go in and be busboys, waiters, do lawn care, have jackets that say Mar-a-Lago staff and walk all over the place. And there wasn't even a padlock up until January. On that, actually up until June, 3 months ago, on that storeroom. And these are top secret documents. John Bolton and Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen was Trump's lawyer, went to prison. John Bolton was his national security advisor, have both said that they are certain that he had made copies of some of those documents and taking them to other locations, and that he had originals of highly classified information in other locations. And they mentioned Bedminster, his golf club in New Jersey, his apartment on Fifth Avenue in New York, Alan Weisselberg's house. He's the CFO, chief financial officer, is just sentenced to 5 months in prison for committing a $1.7 million tax fraud, which is a ridiculously small term, and his kids' homes. This is not just sloppy. Why did he do this? Why does he continue to try to evade? Why didn't he turn it back last January? Who's he going to sell it to? Who's he going to give it to? Who's seen it already? I think there's only one explanation for this. The only people that are going to benefit from it right now are the Russians. He's in bed with the Russians. He's afraid of the Russians and Putin. He supports Putin. And he has said that Putin is a genius for going into Ukraine. This may be his way of paying off his debts. I'm going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there's a Secretary of State race going on in this state right now. You know, we talk about Governor, Attorney General. And by the way, the lines are lighting up. I will get to you. Do not hang up. But I want to hit this topic. Doug La Follette is our candidate. Doug has been Secretary of State for a long time. I know him. He's a friend of mine. He's a very good Secretary of State. We got to reelect him. Republican nominee is a woman named Amy Laudenbach, former state senator. And she is running and has now just come out with the following extraordinary statements. One, lawmakers, i.e. Voss in the legislature, who are gerrymandered and illegitimate themselves, must give her control of elections. Two, when asked, she won't discuss if she can would unilaterally or could unilaterally certify elections regardless of who wins the popular vote in Wisconsin. She won't comment on it. And three, she won't answer that whether Biden, in her opinion, was elected president. She takes a pass on that. This is a very dangerous individual. Very, very dangerous individual. Right now, the Secretary of State office has virtually no duties because the Republican legislature, going back a long time, stripped the office of any duties because Doug La Follette was unbeatable. But now it's surfaced that Voss and LeMahieu are discussing the minute, if she wins, they are going to put in legislation turning over all election matters to her, because she's a Republican, which is true in some other states in this country, but not this state. Now, I don't think that Evers will lose the election, but if God forbid he did, and Michaels got in, Michaels would sign that. And when asked, Amy Laudenbach would not say, she was asked, if there's an election and the Democrat wins, would you nevertheless certify the Republican electors? She would not answer that. And secondly, she would not answer what it means when she said lawmakers must give her control of elections. And three, she would not answer when asked if Joe Biden was elected president. Go to the lines. Gary of Sussex, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Gary?
All right. I got a question. I'm going to ask you a question first, and then I'm going to, like the bell, respond to what's your opinion on what Biden's speech was last night. What was your view of it, and what did you think about it? And then I'd like to tell you what a Republican thinks.
Sure. Yeah, and by the way, we discussed that extensively for the first half of this hour. So I'm going to repeat it, Gary.
But
we did get into that. That was it's an important issue. I thought it was a terrific speech. I think it was nuanced. I think that he was a leader. And he came out flat out and he said, the Republicans, the leadership, not all of them, but the Trump Republicans have reintroduced violence into our politics. Our democracy is at stake. This is an inflection point in American history. We've got to stand tall. And again, not a majority of the Republicans, and he said certainly not all Republicans, not even a majority of them, but the Republicans who are Trump Republicans are doing everything in their power to subvert our democracy, and we have to stand tall against them. I watched the speech, Gary. It was a great speech.
Okay.
And he said it now, in a commanding sense. So I take it, you tell me, you're a principal conservative. You tell me what you thought about the speech. Do you think that it was somehow false to say that the some Republicans have introduced violence into our politics after January 6th and after Trump at his rallies saying, beat up the protesters and I'll pay your legal fees?
Well, this is my take on it. And I do appreciate the fact that you call me a principal conservative, because I am. I don't call up and start yelling and screaming and have fights with everybody over the radio like sometimes like CJ does, talking to Earl, or I don't know if he calls up on you or not, but you need to tone it down a little bit. But my opinion is, a conservative Republican, is that I felt as if, because I am a Trump supporter, I'm a MAGA, said that I'm dangerous to democracy, and there's 74 million of MAGA Republicans, 74. All right, that's a lot. That's most. I would probably say it's about 85% or 82% in that area that are considered themselves MAGA Republicans. And when he starts calling us dangerous and to democracy, I just remember back, it just hit me just like a can of bricks right in the head, that when Hillary went out there and called Trump supporters deplorable, you know, how did that work out for her in the future? I mean, is there a Mrs. Hillary Clinton, the president? No, it did not work out well for her. You know, he said he wanted to be a president for all the people. He's dividing us. And I don't like it. Under Obama, things went pretty good. You know, I didn't like Obama, but, you know, things went on. The country was basically successful. Under Clinton, the same thing. I made a lot of money in the stock market under Clinton. Things are fine. Now, it's crazy. It is crazy, crazy.
Okay, Gary, I hate to cut you off. We're going to break very shortly, and I want to respond to what you said. So you are a principal conservative, and I do like to hear your response. I think you're a decent guy. However, I'm going to point something out. And it did occur to me, I remember when Hillary talked about the deplorables and all that, Biden was not saying that the average Republican who votes Republican is a bad person. He clearly was not saying that. What he's saying is that the hardcore Trump Republicans have supported the reintroduction of violence into our politics. And you can't reach any other conclusion after you see what happened on January 6th. Police officers were almost kicked to death. They were kicked in the head. There was a gallows, hang Mike Pence. Luke, my friend, you're at the microphone.
You don't even have to look as far back as in January 6, 2021. As soon as the FBI went in and tried to get these documents back, the rhetoric that Trump put out there about the FBI led a Trump-supporting individual in Cincinnati to go and shoot up the civilian entrance to an FBI office in Cincinnati. The violence is continuing right now. This isn't an 18-month ago thing that's not still boiling up. It is happening now.
That's very, very good. Yeah, Gary, we have to go to a break, unfortunately, but here's the deal. You and I probably agree that the guy in Cincinnati should not have shut up the FBI office, and you and I agree that they shouldn't have gone up to the Capitol and kicked police officers in the head. And I think that is what Biden is saying, is that there's a branch of the Republican leadership that's backing that. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.